touch the something inside that we need so much. The sight of a touch or the scent of a sound or the strength of an oak with roots deep in the ground. The wonder of flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again. Or to fly to the sun without burning a wing. To lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing. To have all these things in our memories hoard and to use them to help.
From the Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
Once again, I seem to be here, amazingly, because I do all the wrong things. All the wrong things, the exact opposite of what Dr. Day is talking about. So I constantly surprise myself that I'm here. We'll get back to Dr. Day in a moment. Well, all right, Dr. Day is my guest. Let me briefly review what she's had to say in the sense that when I consider my life, I work during the precious hours of nurturing sleep that I should be getting, as in right now. What did she say? I think between 10 and 2. I'm on from 10 to 3 in the morning, so that about takes care of those hours. I have been a hamburger fiend all my life, love fries, hate vegetables, especially some vegetables. Lima beans, for example, I used to take those like pills, you know, to get to my dessert. My mom would make me take them, so I would eat. I'd eat a lima bean. Well, I didn't eat it, really. That implies one chews it. I would take my lima beans like pills and wash them down with milk so I didn't have to taste them like pills. And then most other veggies. I'm not a big fan of veggies at all. I eat salads, some salads, but most vegetable, I like corn. Most other vegetables, ick. I depend on coffee. And, of course, I smoke. And then I sleep during the daylight hours, so I don't get a lot of sun because I work all night. So I should be totally doomed, Doctor.
Well, you are living kind of the life that I lived, and I was going along just fine until suddenly one day I had a tumor. I also should tell you that the first sign, the first symptom of a heart attack in 50% of those who have them is sudden death.
First symptom of a heart attack is sudden death.
Right. So we can be going along just fine.
And then boom.
And then boom. And with cancer, at least you have a chance to change the things that you've been doing.
Well, that's true.
And with 50% of heart attacks, you don't. And so I just feel very fortunate that I developed cancer because I relied on coffee. I was up all night as well. You know, I was operating all night. I was working all day.
What about somebody like myself? Now, you said 10 and 2 at night.
Right.
Does it have to be night?
Well, it's a lot better if it's night because, again, we are made to be up during the daytime, during the daylight hours, and to be sleeping at night. But certainly, if you get 8 hours of sleep, it's better any time of day than not. I wasn't even getting that.
No, I don't get that. I sleep in two shifts. I sleep a little in the morning and a little in the afternoon. That's it.
Well, you're waiting for something to happen.
Yeah, I suppose so.
And again, you see, that I thought that I was just going along just fine. People used to say, you're working too hard, you can never hold up working like this. And I said, what is it? You know, you're just wimping out here. I can handle this just fine.
But you didn't.
No. Mm-hmm. See, health is a result of healthful living. And disease is a result of unhealthy living. It's just that simple. And so you can start changing over gradually. You don't have to change over all at once as I did. I had to change over all at once in order to survive. But you don't have to, because at least we don't know of any serious disease you have at this moment.
As of yet.
But you can change over slowly, start drinking a lot more water, ease up a little bit on the coffee slowly, get rid of it slowly.
My coffee?
Well, you don't have to get rid of it all at once. And then start having some vegetables, more vegetables that you like, and then start having an occasional vegetable that you don't much care for, but you can learn to eat it. And it's amazing how you can actually start liking them. See, here's one reason you don't like vegetables. When you live on a diet of meat, I don't know, are you a big sugar eater too?
No.
Okay.
That's my one thing I do. No,
one
I don't.
One virtue, huh?
Yeah, I don't drink pop or anything like that. I don't eat candy. I'm not a sugar person.
Okay. Well, that's another thing that will kill people is sugar, because it paralyzes the immune system for 5 hours after you eat it. So then you can't resist any kind of disease. But I forgot where I was.
Well, sugar.
No, but we were talking about something before sugar.
We were with heart attacks.
Well, we were talking also about vegetables. And if you start...
Oh, yeah.
I was telling you why you don't like vegetables.
I couldn't remember, because I'm sure I blocked that out.
when you're eating meat, you see, not only do you have the stimulation of all the hormones that are given to the animals to make them grow bigger,
yes,
faster,
yes,
and that is very stimulating to your body, but when the animal is killed, it knows it's going to die, and so it's terrified, and so it pours out huge amounts of stress hormones, which are very stimulating. And so when you eat that flesh food, you eat those stimulating hormones.
So are you saying that if we were to sneak up on a cow and hit it over the head with a pan when it wasn't looking, we'd be better off?
Probably. Probably.
Interesting.
However, people become actually addicted to those stimulating hormones. That's why when people first stop eating meat, they feel like they've lost their energy at first, and it's just that they have to settle down from all those stimulating hormones. So if you start easing off on the meat a bit and start putting in some more vegetables and start drinking a lot of water, you will be amazed.
Well, my wife makes me drink water.
Well, that's good for her. That's probably why you're still standing.
Oh, that may be. Vitamins and this giant glass of water. And she always does it just before I go on the air, so I feel like I'm sloshing into the room. But so I drink a lot of water. I guess I do a couple of good things. But, boy, to give up my coffee and give up my meat and cigarettes.
Well, you may not have to give up your coffee. It may be forced out of your life by circumstances.
What, the coffee police?
I had to give up coffee even before I developed cancer, because I was having rather severe digestive problems that I figured were due to my coffee, and indeed they were.
Yeah, but how could you wake up in the morning, stumble out, and not have a cup of coffee there? I mean, what replaces a cup of coffee?
It was very difficult, I can tell you. It was one of the hardest things I ever had to give up, but I was starting to become symptomatic, and it was having a major impact on my life, and so I had to give it up. But this was before I had developed cancer, but this was one of the components that gave me cancer. You see, caffeine also is toxic to the neurologic system, And it can contribute to many neurologic diseases as well because it's a toxin.
You know, I look at what would have to be done and I say to myself, I've got to be honest with you, I'm not sure I could do that. I'm honestly not, I mean, to shift my diet away from meat, give up my precious coffee, my cigarettes, start eating these coarse, foul vegetables. This is, of course, my perspective on things here. I eat vegetables only because I'm made to. my mother or my wife. I don't ever, there's never a time, ever, when I say, God, I wish I had some string beans. Could you whip me up some string beans? Never.
Well, I don't say that either. What? I don't say that either about string beans. But the thing is, I enjoy string beans when I eat them. Now, let me tell you, the last time I was on, I talked about my 85-year-old mother, who is now 87, and she developed a severe autoimmune disease. My mother was a sugarholic. She loved all of her delicious food and all of her sauces and, you know, cheese and all those things like that. And she developed this severe autoimmune disease called polymyalgia rheumatica. It's in the same category as lupus and rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
The doctors wanted to put her on high-dose cortisone. I knew she'd have a stroke because cortisone has all sorts of side effects. So I said, absolutely not. The doctors got very upset with me. They tried to talk sense to me. I brought her out to my house, and I put her on this plan. And I want to tell you what happened. Now, she was 85 years old.
Right.
Within 3 weeks, we were able to get her off of all four high blood pressure medications that she had been on for as long as 35 years. In 3 weeks, her blood pressure was normal. Within four months, her cholesterol dropped from 280 to 120. Her triglycerides, which is a measure of the fat in your blood,
right,
normal is 200 or below. Hers were 565. They dropped to 160 in 4 months. Within 6 months, she was totally well and had never been on any medications whatsoever. Now, when she first started out on the program, she would sit at the table, and her lower lip would hang out, and she would sit there and pout. And
yeah, that'd
say,
be me.
I don't like this.
That'd be me.
And I would say to her, Mom, just like she said to me when I was a little kid, I said, Mom, eat your vegetables. And I said, you're too sick to fix anything else. You either sit there and you eat it or you don't get anything. And she hated carrot juice at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And she would look at me and she'd say, you look like you like this stuff. And I said,
yeah, that's what I suspect, too.
And I said, well, but I learned to like. I said, I do. So anyway, within a few months, she started to learn to like it because as she got the sugar out of her system and all the rich food out of her system, now she eats that way all the time. She is now 87 years old. She is still on no medication. Her blood pressure is normal. She walks a mile a day. She drinks her water, and she's just doing great.
All right. On behalf of all of the people doing all the wrong things like myself, I've got to ask the following question. We all know these people who have been health nuts, they eat fruits and nuts and vegetables, and that's all they ate, and they would preach about it. And then they have heart attacks or strokes in their early 50s or even earlier, and the nation goes, oh, my God, look at that person. They were leading the perfect life. They were eating just what they were supposed to eat, and they fell over dead. And then there is the lady who quit smoking at 118 years of age, and says that she figures it's time to quit at 118. So what about that? In other words, it's not flawless. In other words, things can still happen to you that take you out early, right?
Well, first of all, let's just talk about what is the cause of disease, and it's not just diet. Remember I said that diet is critical for recovery from a serious disease, change of diet, but it is not the total thing. The plan, I have videos out where I have the whole plan that I use to get well, and it is a 10-part plan. The food, the nutrition, is only one part of the 10-part plan. The others are proper exercise, getting out in the fresh air, getting out in the sunlight, elimination of processed food and sugar and all of these chemicals that are in the food, and then learning to get the stress out of your life. Do you know, even though the statistics say the number one cause of death in America is heart disease and number two is cancer, the real number one cause of death in America is anger.
Anger?
Right.
Oof.
Anger. And people are angry about everything, and a lot of people have anger stuffed down inside. Now, I had some anger that I didn't even know I had. I had been through a very unpleasant divorce and a custody battle for my children, and I had a lot of anger about that I didn't really understand. And I had to learn to get rid of that. And that's where my trust in God came in, because I had to learn to give that to the Lord and get rid of that anger. And when I did, and I started trying to be benevolent to other people, being thankful for what I had, being thankful that I wasn't dead, and when I started looking at life that way, then the nutrition could start healing my body. Because people are so angry about so many things, they can eat right, but if they're all stressed out inside, they're going to have a heart attack.
Well, I hear that. Now, I have anger, but I externalize it. I don't internalize it. If I have anger, I let it out. But I have anger.
Well, I let my anger out, too. So that doesn't necessarily
help
take care of it. What we've got to do is actually, this is the hardest thing to do. You've got to learn to love your enemies. And that's a very difficult thing, and I can't tell you that I have arrived, but I've made some progress.
Yeah, I don't know if we ever arrive all the way at that destination.
But I can tell you, you know, when you start living life like this, see, when you're angry, your stomach contracts, so you can't digest your food. Your intestinal peristalsis stops, so you can't eliminate your waste.
Can't even sleep right, I know.
And your adrenal glands pour out all sorts of immune-suppressing hormones.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I know you're right. Hold on, doctor. We'll be right back. She is so right. Anger does all of that to you and more. I know she's right. But I also know that I'm doing all the wrong stuff, and I mean all the wrong stuff. The opposite of almost everything. The only place I got any points at all was sugar, and I don't think that's going to save me. We'll be right back. I'm Art Bell.
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the Wirecard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
That would be me. Good morning, everybody. Dr. Lorraine Day is here, and I think we're going to pick up on the issue of stress in a moment, and we're going to get the phone lines open pretty soon, too. But if you want to know what this woman has done, go to my website. I'm telling you, you have in your life never seen anything like it. What she had and now what she is. She did what she says she did. There's no doubt about it. The visual proof is right there. And she's very healthy at the moment. Dr. Lorraine Day cured herself of cancer. And I guess if you listen to what she says and follow directions, you could hope to do the very same thing. I don't see why not. We'll be right back. All right, back now to Dr. Lorraine Day. Dr. Day, you were talking about stress, you know, above and beyond everything else. I'm a real serious type A person, no question about it. You can't do a five-hour talk show five nights a week and then 3 hours on Sunday and not be pretty type A. And there's a lot of stress in the work I do. I mean, there's a great deal of stress in the work I do. It may not seem that way sometimes on the air, and usually on the air there's not. But, you know, in the rest of the job, there's a very great deal of stress. There's just one thing about it, though. I love it. I thrive on it. Now, what do you say to that?
I loved my job, too. I thrived on it. I did it for 20 years, and I loved every minute of it, and I did not, even at the time, understand how stressful it was.
Of course not. But isn't it part of life? I mean, isn't getting out there and living life to its fullest part of life?
I'm not suggesting that people have to stop their jobs. I do suggest that people need to get 8 hours of sleep a night. Certainly seven, and get exercise and fresh air and things like that. And I'm not suggesting that you have a job that is stress-free. It is not so much the stress that you have, it is the way you handle it. And that's what I had to learn, how to handle stress without having it destroy me. And there is a way to do that, and that was the toughest job that I had to learn.
All right, what is that way? In other words, stress is stress. It's pressure. It means you're under some sort of deadline, or you have to perform in some way, in my case, or whatever it is. It's pressure. It's stress.
I tried a whole lot of different ways, as I talked about. I tried meditation. I tried various other forms of stress relief.
Right.
And the only way I could do it was to, and again, you're talking to a person who was an agnostic for 30 years, I had to turn to God and learn how to study my Bible and pray. And that's the way I learned to relieve my stress. And you might say, well, that sounds pretty simplistic. Not when you start really doing it. It didn't happen instantaneously that my stress was relieved. It took some real diligent effort in Bible study and prayer, and when I started doing that, every single day I would get up, and in fact I still do, I spend an hour in prayer and Bible study with the Lord every single morning. That's the first thing I do when I get out of bed, and that has changed my life.
Well, you were agnostic, you said,
right,
as a physician, and I think a lot of physicians are agnostic,
right,
at the very least, aren't they?
Right.
How did you change that? In other words, how did the spiritual change come?
Well, actually, the spiritual change started before I developed cancer. When I was speaking all over the world about the AIDS epidemic, and I developed some very high-level contacts in the government and in, you know, in various undercover agencies, and they started sending me lots of information, much like what you get. And when I started seeing all this information and seeing the documents, it was pretty frightening. And so I went through a very difficult time. But when I was going through this, one day I was getting ready to do another radio show on all of this information. And I had already had my life threatened by the government by that time and things like that. And that's not really comfortable. And so I was sitting there going over my material, and suddenly a light bulb went off over my head. Figuratively, and I said, I remember when I was a kid, because I was raised in a religious family, but I threw it all away. And I remember when I was a kid, things like I'm reading about in these documents I'm getting are in Revelation, in the book of Revelation in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to study it from an intellectual point of view to see if this had any relationship to what was happening right now. And in fact, I found out it did. And so I started studying just to try to figure out what was going on. And it was that way that I started to begin. And then I didn't develop a personal relationship with the Lord until I was truly, practically with my face in the dirt with this huge tumor on my chest, when I realized that medical knowledge could not save me. All of the schooling that I'd been to and through could not save my life, and I had to turn to the Lord and ask Him to help show me how to get well.
foxhole conversion?
Well, it wasn't. I was beginning my road before, but what I had to do, I had no place else to turn. Because I knew everything every other doctor did, and I knew that chemotherapy and radiation never really cure you. All they can do is try to, chemotherapy is poison.
Right.
You would never give it to a person who wasn't sick. Why would you give it to somebody who is sick?
Right. I guess the bet is that you try to kill the cancer before you kill the patient.
Yes, and usually you don't.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. So I mean, this was not a good alternative. But I read there are a lot of promises actually in the Bible that say if you obey my laws, my commands, and my decrees, I will keep you free from every disease. Not meaning I will give you a reward. It's just that health is a result of healthful living. And all these rules and these guidelines are actually in the Bible. I went back to Genesis to find out how we were really meant to eat. And so when I started following these guidelines, I started getting well.
Well, I can't argue with that. Let's bring on some callers.
Right.
First-time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hello.
Yes, Art.
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm calling from Youngstown.
Ohio, yes.
Yes, WKBN. Dr. Day, I was wondering what you were saying about, what you were talking about anger. By the way, I got up on your website, and I think that your story is an inspiration.
Oh, it is.
And what I wanted to know on the question of anger is there more than one type of anger? Because I know I know several people who seem to be angry a lot, but is there such a thing as righteous anger? Is there such a thing as positive anger? Can it be used positively?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually.
Well, there is a reason to when you see someone being wronged, it is right, that's righteous indignation, but it's different than letting it take control of you. There is something constructive about if you come to the aid of someone who is being beaten to death,
mm-hmm.
That's a different kind of thing than when you are venting your rage on someone who has wronged you.
Mm-hmm.
So it is totally different, yes. There are two different kinds.
Boy, I wouldn't begin to know how to do that. I'm the kind of person that, and I'm sure that caller is too, that if somebody comes after me, I'm a libertarian, and I'm sort of live and let live in my attitude about the world and people that I know. But when somebody comes after me, I tend to go after them even harder. In other words, I don't roll over. And I guess you're telling me that you've got to virtually learn to roll over. If somebody wrongs you in some way, you've got to intellectualize it to the point where it doesn't matter to you. You're going to not allow them to get to you or something or another. I'm not sure what you're saying.
Well, here's what you're saying. I'm not going to let someone else control my behavior.
That's right.
I'm going to control it myself rather than let someone else control it. But again, most of us are weak enough that we can't do that, and that's where I had to turn to God for the strength to do it. Now, you're talking to someone who also was like you. I had 90 patients frequently in the hospital, all very, very sick, with terrible injuries. I had 12 residents and interns that were on my under me that I was training. I had
right.
to run a very tight ship. In fact,
right.
my residents called me Lorraine of Terror.
Lorraine of Terror.
So, I mean, I was like that. And
yes.
and so I had a lot of lessons to learn. And it was not easy. But I can tell you, it was that or die.
But, you know, suppose you took Lorraine of today and tried to put her back in the job that she had back then. You really couldn't do that job now, could you?
Well, I mean, as far as staying up all night, I wouldn't do that.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, to be in the tense situation of an emergency room or trauma medicine, without that edge.
Yes, I could do it better than I ever did it before.
You really think so?
Absolutely. I know I could. Absolutely.
And you could run a tight ship?
Yes.
Are you tempted to return?
No, because what I'm doing now is so much more fulfilling. Again, I'm showing people how they can get well from diseases that we in medicine have told them they can't get well from.
All right. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day and Art Bell. Hi.
Yes, how you doing? I'm calling you from KFYI in Phoenix.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Day, what kind of juicer do you use? And are you familiar with the works of Norman Walker and Bernard Jensen?
Oh, yes. Very much so. Those were great men in the field. Right. I happen to have a Norwalk juicer, which is sort of a Cadillac of juicers.
Oh,
but
yeah,
you can
about 1,500. I know.
Yeah,
oh,
you
yeah.
can get well on virtually any kind of juicer.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who've gotten well on Juice Man Junior juicers and Champions and all different kinds of juicers.
On that juicer, right? On your Norwalk juicer?
Yes.
I heard that is so thorough that the pulp that's left from it is like no better than sawdust. Is that true?
Well, no, it's good for compost.
It's good for compost?
Right.
I think I've read in their literature that, you know, it takes out a lot of nutrient value, but you can basically do that with any juicer?
Well, no, the other juicers aren't as good at taking out all the nutrition, but what I'm saying is you can get well from cancer on virtually any juicer. But again, it's not just the juicing, it's the total 10-step plan. By the way, I should tell people, on my website, I have a chat session every Thursday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific time where I will answer questions. People can come and talk to me directly, and my website is www.drday.com. That's drday.com.
All right, and we have a link up to you right now.
Yes.
As well. Let me tell you a little juicer story. I went on a cruise, and when you go on a cruise, they have these exercise rooms on the ship, you know, these vast exercise rooms. They have a juice bar. And for the first time in my life, my wife talked me into trying this tall glass of a million things juiced together. And I don't know how to put this delicately, but my number one and number two respectively turned red and purple, and it scared the hell out of me. Is that
it had beet juice in it, that's why. It had beets in it.
God, I thought this was the end of the line. Nothing ever scared me so badly in my whole life.
Well, the thing is, when you start on juice, you don't want to mix a whole lot of things together. I can guarantee you, if I gave you a glass of fresh carrot and apple juice, you would like it.
Okay, well, maybe. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Lorraine Day. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Are you speaking to me?
Well, I am.
Okay,
yes,
I'm sorry about that, Art.
Sorry. Where are you?
I'm over in Greencastle, Pennsylvania, pretty close to Baltimore, a native of San Francisco.
Yes,
sir. Left in 64 to come out here and get a license as a ship's officer. I've been in the Merchant Marine since 56.
Yes, sir.
The doctor's got it pretty close. I want to ask her if she knows anything about Dr. Samuel West in Orem, Utah.
No, I don't.
Okay. You're real close. What you're speaking about is life at the cellular level, sodium and potassium, white blood cells.
Right.
They generate electricity.
Right.
And as you know, the lymphatic system runs parallel to most of our blood vessels. And stress causes albumin or blood proteins to permeate the spaces between these white blood cells, shutting the electricity or the capability of the white blood cells to turn and create this electricity in the body. And usually it's water and salt that it brings with it. Well, Dr. Samuel West is one of 401 lymphologists in the world. There's 65 in the United States. And the first fact that he brings out is that stress causes the capillaries to dilate, consequently allowing these blood proteins to cluster in between the cells, shutting the electricity down in our body. Consequently, it's necessary to get these blood proteins into the lymphatic system so that the impurities can be purified through our lymphatic system. And at the top subclavian valve, this clean lymph goes back into the blood, and the blood, well, it's actually water. All the digested nutrients and minerals go back into our blood and actually satisfy our body. Well, the first fact that he brings out is that no matter what you eat, if you're under stress, these blood proteins cluster, and what starts is, if you're on the most healthy diet there is, cancer is the fermentation of glucose, and if you had beet juice or the most healthy diet in the world, if you're not oxygenated, the cancer starts to grow, just like, just as if you were making wine.
Well, I think she probably agrees, don't you, Doctor,
yeah,
with most of that?
Yeah, I do.
So essentially what you said.
If you're stressed, you cannot digest your food. Your whole digestive tract really shuts down.
But try and explain to me how Dr. Lorraine of Terror could do her job, that same job in which you were declared to be a terror, with the same efficiency without the stress. In other words, when you're instructing interns, when you see one of them screw up and do something really stupid, how do you respond without internalizing stress, or externalizing it at least? I just don't understand. You're in a boom, 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 boom kind of job, and you've got to get it done, and you've got to train people, and you've got to be sure people don't die. How do you do that without the stress, Doctor?
Well, again, it's a little difficult to tell in a 1-2-3, but because I had to spend a lot of time learning that if I gave my life to God, and He would help direct me, then I could rest assured that these things would get done, and in fact, I've become much more efficient because of it. I can tell that in my life. I am much more efficient than I was before, and
sure,
I was pretty efficient.
Sure, but you're not under the same kind of pressure that you were.
No, but I can tell you this. I was under, even when I spend a lot of time on the radio, I've done 400, 600, 800 radio shows on AIDS and all that before I ever got started.
Sure.
Talking about cancer. And I was in a lot of confrontational situations.
Yep.
And the way I handle that now is totally different, but I still get my point across, but I don't get angry.
Okay.
Because it's just a change that takes place in your life, which is gradual. It is not instantaneous, where you learn, actually, you learn to see life better from the other person's point of view.
Well, I have learned to control anger in the sense that I fully understand that when you really just lose it and you get very, very, very angry, you become incredibly inefficient. You don't see the tree for the forest, or the forest for the tree, or whatever. You don't see anything. It's like the red blanket goes up in front of you, and you begin lashing out foolishly and inefficiently. I've learned to channel my anger specifically, so it's effectively applied, not just sort of randomly lashing out, which a lot of people do when they get angry. They totally lose it. So I've channeled anger, but that's still not the same thing as what you have done.
Well, that's right. And again, it was not easy for me to do, and I was dying. And it was only when I learned how to do that that everything turned around. But when I had trust in those promises, if you obey my laws and my decrees and my commands, I will keep you free from every disease. And that's why there are all these things in the Bible that says, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. It turns out that makes a physiologic difference in your body, and your cells then can learn to heal.
That's remarkable. That really is remarkable. And I have a feeling, of course, that you're absolutely right. All right. We're at the top of the hour, and I can allow you to go or stay for another hour. Your choice.
Well, I'd like to stay. And I would also, if anybody has to go, I'd just like to let them know, those who aren't on the Internet, the tumor pictures are on my most recent videos. I have two new videos since
Everybody will still be here. Don't worry. Everybody's still
okay.
Here. And we'll get the information out when we get back. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Un unscreened calls mean Art Bell never knows exactly what's coming next.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that I've been taking you to bed with me every night since November, and I am one satisfied woman. You've done it. I'm obsessed. You've done an excellent job.
Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. He satisfies.
I am one satisfied woman.
You know, we should save that tape and use it as a promo.